Oh my goodness, chapter 40, the price of pettiness, 2024. He is right. John is right. He did see. How do you know? How did you see when pettiness kills things? Well, you watch people act like that. You watch people make judgments. You watch people design a terrible end to a relationship. You watch them. You watch them do it. And then 3 years later, the guy they tanked is doing great. John's not kidding. He had a partner, my friends. A partner who undermined everything that was good, beautiful, holy, all in the name of whatever family. And here, years later, what John is doing right now has been overwhelmingly miracles and blessings of information of how to handle the miracle of his business. It's unbelievable where the two of them were when I met them and where they are now in the power, the grace, and mercy of God brought them here. I was able to help. I'm able to. God allows me to be on the ride. But what no man could do what has happened to John and his family. No man. And he doesn't mind if I speak for him. He's happy to be in the place of the Lord. Happy to be. Him and the missus. And I know Cody's having trouble getting in and out. You just tell that boy to keep on coming. Keep it coming. I'll type it in here. Keep it coming, Cody. No problem. You don't let the enemy get in the way. You just keep fighting it. So, yes, and then years later, his partner who was so persnickety and so petty with him, a good man, an opportunity to be a good man. We all have an opportunity to be something we are not. God gives us the opportunity. Now, so many years later, it was wrong. He was wrong. Even though it was challenging back then, that was the blessing. The blessing was the challenge. And in the challenge, he got the information. And the information, he prayed. And in the prayer, he asked to know how to do the information, what to do, how to do, how to hang on. Led his wife and his family and his children. And never gave up a day. Sorry to talk about you today, John. I guess you're just going to have to be embarrassed by all the blessings and the miracles that God has given you today and proclaim it from the highest mountain. And what gets in the way of wonderful, wonderful things that the Lord has for you today? Chapter 40, The Price of Pettiness, 2024. You know, I was talking to a good friend of mine yesterday, and I said, you know, people that go to church halfway, they look the same as people that don't go to church. We were kind of laughing about that at lunch. People that don't, that kind of go to church, they look the same as people that don't go to church. It's a lousy testimony, isn't it? It's a lousy example. People like people that don't go to church look at them and say, "Man, I'm actually better than you are." You know, I don't know what's going on with church. They don't have a peace beyond all understanding. A peace beyond all understanding. They're insane. You can't do anything halfway, much less the Lord. The Lord God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth.
I think I'll do that on Thursdays.
Oh, gosh. But chapter 40, The Price of Pettiness, 2024, very important information. I would call this kind of information a blessing. Are you ready? As Pastor Rick says, you need to strap in for this one. You need to strap in for this one. This is an e-ticket ride. Petty is the most expensive item on the list, second only to revenge. And yet we employ it regularly and seem to feel that cost is justified. That cost is justified. Petty is justified. Putting little things above all the things that matter. Petty is small-minded, immature, foolish, and lacks all the things that are great. Petty is the opposite of honorable. Petty removes me from good behavior. It allows me to make incredibly destructive mistakes. Titus 3:9 warns us to avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law because these are unprofitable and useless. In 2 Timothy 2:14, Paul instructs Timothy, keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It's of no value. It only ruins those who listen. Pettiness is a divider. Pettiness is a divider. It creates unnecessary walls and rifts between people. And most importantly, pettiness destroys and ends good, profitable relationships. Work together for the sake of the gospel. Kind of hard to do in 2024. The world's overview right now does not prioritize Scripture, does it? That's too bad for you and me. Scripture is key. Keep it that way. 2 Timothy 2:23, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed, in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. How does that look when we're out here, right? You think John would tell you, I don't think Pat liked me. There was a time when he yelled at me about this, that, and the other thing. All he heard when I was yelling at him is a man who cared about him. You can ask him. Don't jump off the cliff. You got to yell at people when they think they can fly. Did John have bad days? Yes. People on this call that I've known for years, you had bad days. Everybody here, when it's time for me to get into it with you, you hear a man who cares. Not a man who wants to belittle. A man who cares, loves, wants you to succeed, wants to beat the devil out of stealing another person's happiness, both now and in the future. What happens, though, when people don't listen? The Bible says to argue with a fool is absurd. But in an even harsher tone, Matthew is brutal. And this scripture, I hate it. Because I believe in, when I am working with people, I believe, man. And sometimes, Matthew 7:6, this scripture breaks my heart. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Oh, that one hurts me. But it is scripture. It is what God gives. I tell him all the time, I can't make this decision. You have to make it for me. I can't make this decision. I don't want to believe it. Isn't that harsh? Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. I don't have to explain that to you, any of you. All of you have been brokenhearted by relationships in your life that you wanted so badly. You tried so hard, and you told me about them. You told me, this guy, he can do it. He's a great guy, and he hurt you and everyone around you. I struggle with that scripture. After many years of rebuilding businesses, when is it time to let somebody go? In my position, when people push back against common sense, failure is imminent, sadly. And they flip it around.
Oh, it's you, the guy that needs to go. Yeah, you know. I'll tell you this right now. You know, my cousin said, me and my wife have talked about it. My wife and I, my husband and I have talked. I'll tell you what.
That kind of tone is not from God. What does it yield? Nothing good, and I cry when I hear it. It is a gift. The relationship that we have today, the relation that you have with a church, with a pastor, what we have here doesn't exist anymore in the world, it would seem. It should, all over the place. It used to in the old days, but now nothing. Now we're like Babylon out here. Crazy, horrible stuff. The Bible says, Babylon, you have been. The story of Babylon, if I told you right now, I can't tell you right now. It's not a good story. Story of Babylon and Revelation, and there's a lot of argument that Babylon is America. Oh, don't even get me started. Don't even get me started. And what we are doing, we are God's country. We are supposed to belong to God, and we have turned away. Oh, I don't even get me started. The price of pettiness everywhere. Proverbs 1:25. Is this scary or what? because I called and you refused. I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my advice and did not want my rebuke. I will also laugh at your disaster. I will mock when your dread comes. Oh, ouch! Oh, ouch! The price of pettiness. Look at that. I called and you refused. I stretched out my hand. Nobody paid any attention. You neglected all my advice. Didn't want my rebuke. I will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when your dread comes. This is the word of wisdom. Wisdom in the Bible is marked as a her. Read about it. In Proverbs, it says she. Whatever it is, I don't want that. I will laugh at your disaster. I'll mock you when your dread comes because you've been an idiot. Pettiness hurts people, not just you. It hurts everybody, good and bad, for the sake of being in control. Right or wrong, good or bad, doesn't matter. Just win, by golly. Even if all is lost, you are in charge. I am in charge. Be in charge and keep order and honor. Petty is absolutely unteachable. And I have found it unchangeable until obviously it is too late. Too late. What is my destiny will simply drift away. What is my destiny, pettiness will rob it from me. Simply drift away. And now I'm a passenger on a train. Next stop, nowhere. In its worst form, petty is premeditated, planned, a violation of the rules, a quiet, sinister design of disingenuous arrogance and self-importance. How often do I hear from people, I should have listened to you. I should have. You were right. Not often enough. Well, I don't want to hear that from people. I don't want to tell people I told you so. I don't want to look in the mirror and say, he told you so. I don't want that. I don't want it for you, and I don't want it for me. Listen to me in the chapter 40 of The Price of Pettiness, but it's sneaky, I tell you. It's sneaky. It comes up on you. Psalms 36:3, the words of their mouths are wicked and deceitful. They fail to act wisely or do good. Oh, baby, we're talking about it. The doorway of a hideous revenge that the devil has against God. You are his revenge. You, me, are the devil's revenge because God loves us so much. You think pettiness comes from God? Oh, no, listen to me, my friends. My friends, listen to me. Walk away from pettiness if you know it's there. It's so insidious, and it will consume you. Rather, if you can catch it, be what God intended you to be. Be in the spirit of God. Be a leader. Happy, joyous, and free? Well, you know as well as I do, you're always happy when you're leading, teaching, and inspiring. You're always happy when you're in charge and it's working, right? Right? Well, it doesn't work right with pettiness. Pettiness robs your success. It gives your success to the jaws of failure. Isn't that awful? Gives your success to the jaws of failure. I'm not exactly a fan of the German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche. You may have heard his words. He was around in the 1800s. I found a quote, Pettiness, in one of his books. I think the book name was Thus Spoke Zarathustra, a book for all and none. He was a clown like that. You know, he wasn't a God believer. He was a believer in philosophy, the philosophy that was in his head. Kind of a dangerous guy. But I do like this quote. From the book, Thus Spoke Zarathustra, a book for all and none. Wow, that guy had to be insane, I'm telling you. But like infection is the petty thought. Infection is the petty thought. Isn't that wild? It creeps and hides and wants to be nowhere until the whole body is decayed and withered by the petty infection. Thus spoke Zarathustra. That was the main character's name. What kind of a name is that? Hey, Z, what's going on, Zarathustra? Hey, Z, Zara, what's up, Zara T? I don't know what you would call it, but isn't that? Doesn't that say it until the whole body is decayed and withered by the petty infection? It's an infection. Ah, that was a good one. I mean, you know, a good one, but scary, right? How do you get rid of this stuff? Well, it ain't easy. Giving yourself a self-righteous attitude, that's what it's all about. Co-signing your own bad behavior. And then the dominoes fall. And they do. Now, how many times have I had people say, oh, the Holy Spirit's guiding me to do it? There's something guiding. It ain't the Holy Spirit. In the mindset of a perpetrator of pettiness, that person feels brilliant, powerful, inspired, directed. Large and in charge, but that is not the case, I promise. Chapter 40, what is the price of pettiness? Losing. That's the price of pettiness. Losing. Sometimes a little, sometimes a lot, sometimes everything. James 3:16, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. I got to tell you, if God had told me what he was going to do, I'd have missed it. Again, I was reminded, lunch is such a great thing with friends. I was having lunch yesterday, and I was reminded of how I got here. What a miracle accident of how I got here. Had I not been listening, or had God told me where to be, I'd have missed it. I'd have been late. It was right on time because it happened, and I walked into it. Had I been all clowning around about worrying about this, that, and the other thing, and mad because this happened or that happened, I would have missed it. I walked into an office on a job I was not paid for. If I'd have walked in there and said, hey, you clown, not paying me, do you think you are? I'll tell you what, I'm glad I walked up here and see that you're in your office. I think I'll wreck your day worse than it's already, boss man. You're not paying anybody. What do you think? We don't have children or something? If I would have said that, I wouldn't be here today. Instead, for some reason, like let's call it God with a capital G, I said, hey, man, what's going on? Hey, man, what's going on? Yeah, I got a daughter. I got a things. I got stuff I got to do. What's going on? And he said, you want to know? I'll tell you. How could I plan that? But if I had a head full of pettiness, I wouldn't have said that, would I? You know what I've done for you? I can't believe you're having trouble paying, baby. Oh, no. God is amazing. Well, let's keep going with pettiness. I think we all know God is amazing. Pettiness is also amazing in the opposite. It's amazingly good at destroying people. At the top of this lesson, I mentioned revenge. Petty is the doorway to revenge, and revenge is the end of all good things, financial, spiritual, emotional, or one's physical and mental health. It takes over everything. Revenge takes over your head, your money, everything. Pettiness and revenge destroys both parties in one way or another. Yeah? Oh, yeah. Yeah? I'll get him even if it means I go down with him. Blah! What's the solution? How do you know when this is happening? How do you stop yourself? What gets in the way of petty? I'm telling you, it's a hard one. It's a hard one because what I'm going to say just doesn't occur to you. Hey, you know, I was just thinking about it yesterday. Listen to these words, wisdom, grace, mercy, love. Hey, listen, when you're in the middle of petty, it doesn't occur to you. Hey, you know, I'm feeling pretty petty today. I think I'll think about wisdom, grace, mercy, and love. Huh. But I'll tell you this, if somebody is in front of you with that, pettiness has a hard time surviving in the face of those words. But it can, because why? Because we're bent on it, man. Definition of pettiness, undue concern with trivial matters, especially of a small-minded or spiteful nature. Envy, comparison, jealous, self-righteous, pompous, and as stated, stupid and costly, the opposite of wisdom, grace, mercy, and love. As John said this morning, I've seen it. And over the years, I've seen what it cost people. Did I ever see pettiness up front and find out that they were right? Not once. Pettiness has cost me, people around me, my children, people I care for and I love. I have seen so many men get in the way of success. and never look back. How about women? I've seen more men get in the way of their success than women. Does that mean something? I don't know. I just know when I see it, it's all bad. They never realize what they've done to themselves, what they've walked away from, pushed away, used up, made incorrect assessments. All of it based on immaturity, insecurity, inexperience, and a general lack of vision. All in the name of anything to justify an unnecessary action that will yield nothing more than a good feeling of temporary power and a whole lot of forever pointless chasing their tail and blaming the world. How does it happen? It happens all the time. Why? Because deception is rampant in our world. Does it say anything there about faith? No. Faith wasn't in that little description right there. Deception is rampant in our world. You'll believe people. You'll believe your spouse when your spouse is wrong because they're tempted, they're afraid, they're scared, and they start undermining the very thing that you need to do to check out correctness. But we don't. We get caught up in the, well, I don't know if I like what they said and he said, and I don't know. Colossians 2:8. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ Jesus. Oh, wow. Well, how can that happen, you'd say? I'll tell you how. 2 Corinthians 11:14-15. Here's the great deception. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. What? I thought he was, you know, a terrible-looking thing with, you know, horns and a face of a cow skull. And masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising, then, if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. So Satan and his crew can look like the good guys. But it assures me here in 2 Corinthians 11:14-15, their end will be what their actions deserve. Yeah, well, that doesn't help you right now, does it, if you follow the yellow brick road the wrong way? Petty is a word found on a list that works against God's divine plan in all of us. That treacherous list includes skeptical voices in the shadows, poisoning our minds against all that is good. Fear, terror, deception, lies, all that is good. Faith itself is held in suspect with pettiness. Faith itself, God himself, God is held in suspect with pettiness. It resides in jealousy, resentment, and destructiveness. Where is God in all this? He's where he always is. He's in the Word and inside of you. Romans 8:37-39, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Could you read that in the face of pettiness? Do you know how many blessings of knowledge and wisdom I have received from the Lord since that day I walked up those steps and took that job to turn that man's company around? Oh, yeah, that's right. I just walked in the door one day. A guy told me what was wrong, and he said, what do you think? That was my first job. Do you know from that moment on, God taught me every day? Can you imagine what happened when pettiness gets in my head? Well, it did. That's why you have this chapter here. This is my testimony. You got to beat the rap on this, man, all of you. Why? Because all of you have been given much, and too much, much is required. This is great information for you, for yourself and for others around you. I have witnessed it every year. People do better, get out of trouble, and then find a way to return little by little to a path that was not prepared for them, all in the name of whatever. Oh, I don't want, how often have I heard, I cry when I hear it. I don't know if I like having ministry in my business. I don't like that. You don't like it now, after you're out of trouble, floating downstream with $50 bills in your hand. Your whole life's in order. Now you can pick and choose about what God has done for you. It says in the Bible it's better that you didn't believe than to believe and give it up. It's better that you just didn't believe. It's just better that you didn't than to believe and give it up. After God blesses you with all the information and you're now swinging from the trees, free and easy. Now people got a problem. You know, I don't like the way you talk to me. You know? And it happens what? It happens all the time. It happens with pastors. It happens with, I'm sure it happens with psychologists. But people in charge who know better. It happens with parents and their children. It happens with children and their parents. People get good information. They know better. And they're just not going to do it. In the name of whatever, man, God has given you and me the Holy Spirit to guide and protect our minds, hearts, and all the enemy would corrupt in me. I have it, and I must use him. God has given me the Holy Spirit. I have it. The Holy Spirit will guide me to stop and corrupt the enemy that's in me, to fail the enemy that wants my life. I have it in me. You have it in you. I must use him. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a him. It is God, and he is in you. Jesus was clear regarding the Holy Spirit. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Doesn't that sound a whole lot better than the price of pettiness? What I'm telling you is it's hard to beat. There's no flip of the button and you're okay. It's hard to beat, man. You got to get in the way of when your every chromosome in your body wants to do this. To undermine somebody else, to blast the very thing that is your gateway to success.
Blow it up.
Like, it's like being in a cave and you see the way out. And instead of walking out, you blow up the opening of the cave. You blow it up before you walk out. Do you doubt Jesus? We can't, but we do. Does the world doubt Jesus? It's not a good thing. Has petty thoughts diluted your good sense and the world? Yeah, it happens every day. And it can happen to me and you anytime, anywhere, right now. I try and remember what John said in his vision, Revelation 1. He actually saw Jesus, and Jesus was clear who he is. If you're wondering who can help you out in this, Jesus can help you out, but you got to catch it. You got to ask for the help. Who's Jesus? Who's Jesus? Well, he's the Son of Man. He died on the cross. Yes, true. He died for our sins. Yes, true. So that we could have eternal salvation. True. True. In addition to that, Revelation 1, 17, 18, when John saw him, he said, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. This is a vision that John had. Was it a vision? I don't think so. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. That's the guy you want on your team, huh? That's the guy you want to work for. The first and the last, he's God, period. How, with Jesus on our side, can petty cost us anything? You pray every day, Jesus is there. You pray every day and stay current. So when this hits you, when it befalls you, you're aware, you can handle it. Man, I don't know how to say it. It happens, like I said, all the time. The deception of this world is very powerful. Like I said, very powerful. And without severe dedication to scripture and prayer, I'll lose the battle by my own hand. I will destroy my future in the name of whatever, again, whatever, possibly even in the name of God. The price of pettiness is the rest of your life or mine if I buy the lie that seems so easy to believe. At the time, it seems so easy. I will never know what God planned for me. Do you know the sadness that I feel when people call me and they say, I should have listened to you? Can you help me? I can pray with him. But Elvis has left the building, man. Their opportunity came and went. There's nothing I can do. It's in God's hands now. Why? Pettiness cost that. Pettiness. In pettiness, you or I will never know what God had planned for me. In my arrogance, I'll say and do anything to go against what's good for me. And eventually, if somehow I am not brought back to my sentence, believe that Jesus is a myth or something like that, and pettiness will become my false god and Jesus is a myth. That's what happens. Pettiness becomes my false god and Jesus is a myth. Well, so I did it in the name of Jesus. Same thing. In the name of Jesus, you're an idiot. God does not want that for you or for me. Believe me, I assure you, Jesus is not a myth. But the world, the deceiver, the devil will have you believe differently. Don't believe differently. And check yourself right now if this chapter is warning you. Romans 8:34b, and furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Jesus is working on you right now. Now here, I got to tell you, as we wrap it up here, are you recognizing this chapter? Are you recognizing? I am in my head. I know what I did. I know what came after me. I know what I survived so I could write this. Are you recognizing this chapter in your life? In your head, in your heart, in your bent, good-for-nothing attitude that we all have when we shouldn't? Are you recognizing it? Because if you are, listen to me. You don't even know what's going on. You don't even know what's happening right now. You want to do something. Your feelings have been hurt. There's an envy circling around your head. You know what I'm talking about. And you're going to do it. Whatever it is, you're going to do it. You've got it all worked out. You've even filled in the gaps of what's happening, whether it's happening or not. I think what she meant by that is, you know what else? I'll tell you what. I know what's happening here. Yeah. You don't know what's happening, but you know what's happening, right? You're dead set. You've got your people lined up as well. You've sold everybody on the idea around you. Oh, yeah, you went out campaigning. You've got your people lined up as well. You've sold everybody on the idea, whatever it is, whoever it is. This is your test. This chapter 40 is your test. Whatever it is, whoever it is, it's your test. And if you blow it, guess what? You get to have your own way. And by golly, people will know you're the boss. For the rest of the temporary time you know them. These are critical decisions when this happens. When pettiness happens, it's critical. Guess what else? You just sold your destiny ticket. Oh yeah, how can I say that? I've seen it in my life, time after time after time. You've just sold your destiny ticket. You'll be loved by God for sure, but chasing your tail the rest of your life. I got a lot of people that aren't on this call, non-believers. I wish they could be on the call. I wish they could get what I have been so freely given by the Lord. Why? Because I'm so smart? I'm not that smart. I have been given my life by God. And I have a history of success as you do. So that, what's that mean? Oh, well, ye are the champions, my friend. No, it means there's a target on your back and the enemy wants to take you down. Oh, yeah. Yeah, chosen, they call it. The elect. That would be you. But this price of pettiness, if it gets you, you just sold your destiny ticket. You just sold your destiny ticket. Let that sink in. Sure, you'll be loved by God. Of course, he loves you. But chasing your tail the rest of your life. You missed the boat. Well, you know, there's more than one way to skin a cat. No, there's not. First of all, I always say, why would you want to skin a cat? And secondly, if you're a hunter, there is not more than one way to skin an animal. There is only one way to correctly skin an animal so that it can be used for food or for a jacket, clothing. There is not multiple ways. I come from a family of hunters. Proverbs 6:14-15. What is it like in your head when this happens? Who plots evil with deceit in his heart? He always stirs up conflict. Therefore, disaster will overtake him in an instant. He will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. Does this stuff scare you? It did me. And I read this chapter when I got my head in places it should not be. But that's my test, and yours too. It's my test. Plots evil with deceit in his heart. No, it's not deceitful. I'm just doing what needs to be done. No, you're not. You're kidding yourself. No, you're not kidding yourself, but something's kidding you. Something is deceiving you. It always stirs up conflict. How can this be helpful? Well, I get to do what I want to do, and what I feel to do is what the Holy Spirit's directing. Ah, baloney. Baloney. In the times of pettiness, you'll say to yourself, no, that's not me. I'm doing the right thing, following the Holy Spirit. God's speaking to me. I'm a steward of blah, 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 blah. It's all a lie. When it's born in pettiness. But you got a shot. You know God. People that aren't on this call that don't know God, they don't have anything. False God for them is money, property, and prestige. And it's a moving target, man. It's different every day. They got a new thing to go after every day. They can't stay with anything long enough because they got to try something else because that's the new special thing. You got a shot at this pettiness. You got a shot. And you are the victim along with all the things that break. If you don't hear me, if you engage pettiness, you're the victim. You are the victim. You are the victim of pettiness, along with everything that you have just now broken because of this decision that you can make. You can make it in your free will. Without the blessing of knowledge, you'll just bypass that, baby. You'll just bypass that. And like I said, when somebody's committed to revenge, that person will take down the victim even if it means he goes with him. Oh, yeah. I'm taking him down even if I got to go with him. Hence that term that you see in all the movies, I'll see you in hell. I don't want to see anybody in hell. Petty's the doorway to all of it. What is the opposite of petty? What is the solution? If you're strong enough in faith with a capital F, these words will soften your heart and break the spell. You know, before I give you this, when I hear those beeps of people that are falling off the call, it makes me sad because the enemy wins in those things. The enemy wins. This is, all of these lessons are important. This one's a big one because you can't get in the way of it. Your head is already bent out. What is the opposite of petty? What is the solution? If you are strong enough in your faith, if you read your book every day and say your prayers, if you give God all the glory, if you realize the lunatic that you are, but in God you're amazing, if you realize the new creation in Christ that you are, if all those things are something you're doing every day, you got a shot. Matthew 5:9, and I chose today the New International Version. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Amen, amen. John chapter 40, the price of pettiness. Thanks, John, for your work and your dedication to people who are writing in assignments. If you're not writing in assignments, it's a great opportunity, as I say to you all the time. It's a great opportunity. Don't let it pass you by. Amen, amen. John.